You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Monday, June 6th, and we are talking at Cardinals baseball with our Cardinals reporter, Jennifer Langosch. And Jennifer, here on the East Coast, it is about quarter past four, and some breaking or recently developing news, if you want to look at it that way, that you just informed me of. The Cardinals have just optioned Colton Wong down to AAA, I believe, as Johnny Peralta is on his way back. So he's kind of the odd man out here, and we were just discussing how, you know, this guy just signed a five-year extension in the offseason, and he was, you know, on the fast track, and now he's not even on the major league roster. So just discuss this. Rather, I don't want to call it stunning, but certainly a name like that to see him option to AAA, it certainly is. It catches you off guard a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it is stunning in the respect that, I mean, as you mentioned, the Cardinals signed this guy to be a part of their long-term core, and there was never an expectation coming into the year that Colton would be anything but this team's everyday second baseman. And then, of course, a kid by the name of Aledmys Diaz comes up, and the way he has played has changed the Cardinals' plans dramatically. I mean, Johnny Peralta getting hurt in spring training opened up that shortstop position. Ruben Tejada getting hurt the final day of spring training gave Aledmys Diaz the chance that he has seized, and now the Cardinals want to keep Diaz at short. So what that means is that all sorts of pieces have to move around. You see Johnny Peralta, he's going to move to third base. Matt Carpenter, who is at third base, he's going to move to the right side of the infield. He could have played first, but with the way Matt Adams is hitting right now, Cardinals have no need to take him out of the lineup. And so then you look at second base, haven't gotten great production there out of Colton Wong, so that's where Matt Carpenter is going to fit. And the Cardinals wanted to send Colton Wong down to Memphis, you know, really for the sole reason of the ability he could have there to get every day at bat. I mean, if he were to stay on this major league roster, sure, he could help off the bench. He could pitch hit, spot start from here, you know, here and again. But for him to get right, for him to get his swing right, and he's been working through the mechanics of that swing all year, particularly with his leg kick, he needs to play. And the only place for him to do that is down in Memphis. Now, is this a hit to the ego? I'm sure it is. He hasn't been down in the minors since 2013. But, you know, it could work out for him. We'll see when or if he comes back up this year. And the Cardinals, you know, one of the things that they have emphasized is that they still do see Colton Wong as a part of their long-term future. It's just a matter of where he's going to fit and how soon he can find that fit again.
Yeah, and you just brought up a good point, something I wanted to elaborate on. Knowing him as you do, you know, here's a young guy. He's got his whole career ahead of him. He was projected to be the starting second baseman for this team for years and years to come down the road. Signed that big extension, and now he's in AAA. And again, knowing him as you do and through your experiences with him, you know, is this going to be something devastating for him, or does he have kind of the mindset where he says, you know what, okay, it's a setback, no question, but I have enough confidence in my abilities to know that I'm going to get my stroke back in AAA and be back with the big club in no time?
Yeah, this is a huge crossroads for him, because Colton is a guy that since he came up, he's very hard on himself. He expects perfection of himself. He might go 4 for 5 in a game, and he will go home and lament over that one at-bat that did not go right, and that's just how he's wired. And you know, it's helped him get to this point, helped him, you know, thrive in the minor leagues, certainly. But that being said, a guy who is so hard on himself and puts so much pressure on himself, how is he going to react to being sent down to AAA is something I don't even think the Cardinals know. And you know, I think the way in which he reacts is going to dictate how this goes. If he takes this as an opportunity to get himself right, maybe play in a less pressurized situation where he can just go out and let his natural talent shine, he can get back on track. I mean, he still is a very talented second baseman. I think he has defensive potential to be above average at the position and certainly the offensive potential to be a weapon. So it's all going to be in how he sees this. You know, that being said, the other way you can go is to just feel sorry for yourself, to wonder where your fit is going to be. And, you know, and at that point, you do then wonder where his career goes. So maybe he'll get a little bit of advice, or maybe he has right from Jed Jerko, who another infielder on this team who went through this exact same thing last year when he was with San Diego. He had signed a long extension with the Padres after a great rookie season. All of a sudden, he didn't produce over the first 2 months of the season, and he found himself back in AAA, spent about a month down there, came back up, and had a much better finish. So if Colton can channel this correctly, I do think it can be a benefit. But again, this is a guy who, you know, there's a lot of mental noise that can get to him, so he's going to have to make an effort to make sure that this is something he can make a positive.
He kind of reminds me of Paul O'Neill with the Yankees back in their heyday in the 90s. You know, like you said, Colton Wong can go 4 for 5 and kick himself over the one at bat he did not get on base. Paul O'Neill was wired the same way, so we saw what kind of a career Paul O'Neill had, and hopefully that is in the cards for Colton Wong, going down the road, but for right now, definitely a setback for him as he is no longer on the major league roster because of all the shuffling going on. He is the odd man out. To go back to the kind of the original point about, you know, why Wong is no longer with the big league team, it is because of Aledmys Diaz. He's been so great at short. Johnny Peralta is on his way back. Now, you said Peralta is going to be taking over third base, which now puts Matt Carpenter on the right side, primarily at second base. But focusing here on Peralta, he has played third base, I think, over 200 games in his career, but he has not played third since 2010, back with the Tigers when he split 2010 between the Tigers and the Indians. How concerning is that for a team that has had their defensive struggles this year, especially on the infield?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how quickly he can take to the position. I mean, he played it a little bit in his most recent rehab assignment that he had, but he only logged 27 innings at third base. So we're not talking about a very big sample size. He does have experience, and the thing that Johnny always brought to that shortstop position was stability. He made all the plays that he should. Maybe he didn't have exceptional range, or he wasn't going to be a Gold Glove shortstop, but he made the plays he needed to, and I think that's the hope for the Cardinals at third base, that he'll just have sure enough hands that he can take care of what needs to be done. And let's be honest, I mean, Matt Carpenter hasn't looked that great defensively at third base. So the Cardinals, you know, we've talked a lot about their defensive issues at shortstop, but they've had plenty of issues as well at third base, where Matt Carpenter right now is second among third basemen in errors committed this year. So the hope is that Johnny can, again, stabilize that a little bit. I think he'll be fine. He seems to adapt very well to whichever way he goes. And, you know, he was open to this. And that's one of the things that the Cardinals made sure to do before moving these pieces around, is they talked to Johnny Peralta, made sure he was okay moving to third. They talked to Matt Carpenter. He agreed that it would be a good option for him to move to the right side of the infield. So the Cardinals have buy-in from all of these players. Now it's just a matter of seeing how they can react to shuffling around.
Do you think that Matt Carpenter is a little bit relieved to be going back to second base? Because, again, you know, a guy, you know, who takes pride in their abilities and their skills, they're never going to come out and say, you know, boy, I've had a hard time at third base. I'm kind of relieved to be going back to second, his original position. But as you said, 8 errors at the hot corner this year, the second most among National League third basemen. So to go back to his original spot, do you think that maybe privately he's kind of breathing a sigh of relief here?
Yeah, I mean, even publicly, I talked to him yesterday, and he's excited about it. You know, I got to the ballpark yesterday, and he was out of second base taking ground balls, turning double plays, and I caught up with him afterwards, and he said, you know, I am such a baseball player, and I am wired very high energy, that he likes to be involved, and he finds that at third base, oftentimes you can go many, many innings, you can go a game without really getting much action, whereas when he's at second base, he feels like he's more involved. He feels like there's going to be more opportunity for him to get involved, so he's excited about the move. He also thinks that he'll benefit from the fact that the game slows down a little bit when you play second base. I mean, at third base, balls are going to get to you a little bit quicker than they will at second. He can be more involved. He also enjoys kind of watching the sequencing of pitches because he can see at that position what Yadi is calling. And so he loves it. Again, as kind of a thinker, a baseball player, a baseball rat, he likes that opportunity. And he also mentioned that first base, if the Cardinals were to need him there, is, again, another position where, because he can do so much there, he thinks he would be able to thrive at as well. So, you know, and lastly, the other thing he added was that 2013, the last year he played second base regularly, he played it in the World Series. And as he pointed out, he has some special memories of that position, and he hopes that he can thrive there again.
And Jennifer, if somebody had told you in spring training, you know, before injuries and before promotions and demotions and all these factors that go into the configurations of a major league roster, if somebody had told you again in spring training, Aledmys Diaz is going to be the everyday starting shortstop for this Cardinals team, what kind of odds would you have put on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would have figured that we would have had 3 or 4 injuries to make that happen. You know, he had an interesting spring because he struck out a lot, which was a little bit concerning. He also had, I remember he had one really big game the day after the Cardinals announced that Johnny Peralta would be out for the first couple months of the season, and you wondered, hey, is this a kid who's ready to step up and show that he is ready? And then, of course, the Cardinals go sign Ruben Tejada. They send Aledmys Diaz out to minor league camp. I mean, let's remember, it took both Ruben Tejada going down on the final day of spring training with a quad injury, and then Tommy Pham going down to an opening day with an injury as well for Aledmys Diaz to make this major league roster. So he essentially had to leapfrog really three other shortstops between Peralta, Jerko, and then Tejada to get the opportunity. And again, credit to him that he sees the opportunity. And while his numbers maybe over the last month aren't as spectacular as the April that he had, they're still very, very good. We saw him hit a game-tying home run the other day on a 3-0 pitch, just stayed with the pitch. he is a very, very good player, and I think it speaks volumes the fact that the Cardinals decided to keep him at shortstop despite some of these defensive issues, because they see him not just as a shortstop of 2016, but their long-term shortstop for many years to come.
And like you said, you know, you never want to see guys get hurt, but sometimes opportunity does present itself in different ways, and this is the way it did for Aledmys Diaz. He has taken it, he has run with it, and he is the anchor of that shortstop position now, and everything else around him is in flux at third, at second, and at first. So big news, as you said, with Colton Wong being sent down to AAA. Peralta at third soon. Carpenter back at second. Matt Adams holding down first base for this Cardinals team, which, Jennifer, believe it or not, has not been more than three games above 500 all season. That's where they stand now following their comeback win on Sunday night against the Red Hot Giants. The Cardinals now 30-27. They're heading into Cincinnati. They're playing a Reds team that, I mean, they've been bad all year. That's no secret. But they've been better lately, coming just shy of a fifth straight win yesterday. They fell to the Nationals 10-9. But nonetheless, despite the better ball they're playing, is this the best opportunity the Cardinals have had so far this year to finally not only build some momentum but sustain it too?
Yeah, I mean, I look at this weekend series that they just completed as perhaps the biggest series victory the Cardinals have had to date. I mean, let's mention that the Giants came in to St. Louis having won 17 of their last 21 games. They were the hottest team in baseball. The Cardinals lose the first game of the series, and then in games 2 and 3 come up with four-run innings mid-game to erase a deficit and take a come-from-behind victory. We saw Saturday they did it with power. We saw Sunday they did it with small ball. And their starting pitching along the way was okay, but good enough. So to take a series, again, at home, too, where they hadn't played all that well, I think could be a good stepping stone for this club. I mean, the offense has to be licking its lips right now going into Great American Ballpark. They haven't been there yet this year. They've got three trips. This will be the first. So this is a club that's right up there with the Mets in terms of league leaders and home runs. So in that small ballpark with this offense and the starting pitching slowly seeming to take some steps forward, maybe, you know, Michael Wacha the exception there, this does seem like a good opportunity. Of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates will be waiting for the series following that one. Be a big series for the Cardinals to make up some ground on them, the NL Central as well.
No question about that. And Jennifer, to wrap up here, we're all gearing up for the MLB draft. Hard to believe that is on the horizon. That begins on Thursday, and the Cardinals are going to be very busy. They pick late in the first round because of their success last year, but when they do pick, they've got four first-round selections, and a big chunk of that due to the free agent losses of John Lackey and Jason Hayward last offseason. Give us a little preview of what the Cardinals could do in that first round and how they plan to kind of attack the draft board, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that's worth mentioning is they have a new scouting director, and this is the third draft, their third year, that they're going to have a different person leading the draft this year. It's Randy Flores, who became their scouting director last summer after Chris Breyer was fired due to the hacking scandal that went on. So, you know, it's interesting that there's been a lot of instability at that position. So we're going to see if there's any different philosophy that comes through because of a new face, or if the Cardinals kind of stay to their tried and true formula. With the three first-round picks, the Cardinals believe they're in really good shape. And what that might allow them to do is be a little more aggressive with some of those picks, because each of those picks comes obviously with a dollar value that goes into your bonus pool that you can spend. But say maybe they take a college pick with one of those first-round picks and they don't have to necessarily give him the allotted money. They can save that money and perhaps then take some risks on a high school player, maybe with a high upside that they wouldn't otherwise be able to. So what I've heard and what the Cardinals believe is that this draft doesn't necessarily have a lot of top talent, but that it's deep. And when you're picking 23rd, 33rd, and 34th, you like hearing that there's some deep draft and some good talent. So I think it'll be fascinating to see which strategy they take. Again, they can go multiple different ways. But this, you know, the one thing that's been consistent even through all these different scouting directors is the Cardinals have managed to draft some great talent and develop it, and it makes a big impact at this major league level.
Yeah, it's always a very inexact science, if you will, but the Cardinals, as you said, have a great track record, and we'll see what they do in a very active first round beginning on Thursday night for the 2016 MLB draft. Jennifer Langosch, we always appreciate the time and the knowledge. We'll do it again at this time next week for sure. In the meantime, Matt Waymire signing off. For MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.